Good morning. Today's scripture comes from Acts 9, 36 through 43, and I'll be reading from the Common English Version of the Bible today. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. Her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. About that time, though, she became so ill that she died. After they washed her body and laid her up in an upstairs room, since Lydda was near Joppa, when the disciples heard that Peter was there, they sent two people to Peter. They urged, "Please come right away." Peter went with them. Upon his arrival, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows stood beside him, crying as they showed the tunics and other clothing Dorcas made when she was alive. Peter sent everyone out of the room, then knelt and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand and raised her up. Then he called God's holy people, including the widows, and presented her alive to them. The news spread throughout Joppa, and many put their faith in the Lord. Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with a certain tanner named Simon. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to roll that video. I'm going to show a short video, hopefully, from How to Make an American Quilt. Anybody ever see the movie, How to Make an American Quilt? This is just some footage of some ladies making quilts. Very short. It's not a typo in your sermon title in the bulletin, sowing and reaping. That's S-O-W is another passage that Jesus was talking about, sowing and reaping. Today we're talking about sowing, S-E-W-I-N-G, and reaping. You know, there are a lot of different halls of fame. You've heard of the hall of fame of, for example, football, which is where? Canton, Ohio. And the baseball hall of fame is? Cooperstown, New York. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cleveland. Very good. I knew Paul would get that one. How about the Hockey Hall of Fame? Paul, you know that, Bert? Toronto. Yes. Hockey Hall of Fame. Basketball Hall of Fame. Ooh. Springfield, Massachusetts. How about that? Yeah. Well, did you know that as of 2001, are you sitting down? Yes, you are. There is a sewing Hall of Fame. Now, I know that probably doesn't get you very excited. It didn't me either, but it's good to know that there's a special place for those who have excelled in the art, really, the art and the craft of sewing. But hang in there with me for a few minutes, because this particular Hall of Fame is going to lead us to where those of us who don't know a needle from a pin, how we can start to get the thread of what I'm trying to sew together here. How'd you like that play on words? How to sew together this sermon. So what kind of people get inducted into the Sewing Hall of Fame? Well, there is a lady by the name of Nancy Zimon. Nancy Zimon, perhaps some of you sewers know her, has had a syndicated television show on TV since 1982, and it has to do with sewing. Nancy suffers from Bell's palsy. She has nerve damage in a side of her face. And she says that her mission in life is to not only sew, but to help others with similar disabilities. Mary Pullen, on the other hand, is not only an innovator, educator, designer, author, publisher, and promoter of needlework, she's also a member of her local Baptist church that goes on mission trips to Brazil and Jamaica and Africa, making clothing, much like these pillowcase dresses for poor children there and for women. And then there's the only man in the Sewing Hall of Fame. His name is Fred Drexler and his wife, Joyce, who own a company called Speed Stitch. But beyond that, they also do volunteer work in their community. In the aftermath, for example, in the aftermath of Hurricane Andrew in 1992, Fred and others set up Operation Mend, which filled two tractor trailers full of sewing machines, fabric, and sewing materials to send down to Homestead, Florida, which was virtually devastated, not wiped off the map in the wake of the hurricane, to help the Florida chapters of the American Sewers Guild help needy victims with donated items made from scratch. If the Sewing Hall of Fame had existed in the first century, I'm pretty sure that the lady mentioned in the scripture that Ray read for us this morning would be in it. And her name is Dorcas, or Tabitha in the Aramaic, the language of Jesus. She might even also have been a good candidate for the patron saint of all sewers. Dorcas, you see, was known throughout her community because much of the needlework that she did, much of the sewing, much of the material that she made, clothing that she made, was for the poor. Dorcas was also an important member of the community. How do we know this? Well, Scripture tells us that when she became ill and eventually died, they sent a delegation to Peter, who happened to be in the next town, which was Lydda. They sent for him to come and to perhaps pray over her, to help her. Peter was known as a miracle worker. He had performed several healings, several deliverances and exorcisms, if you will. And Peter was called upon. He actually was in the next town, Lydda, and so he was close by, so they went and got him. So when Peter got there, he went to the upstairs room where Dorcas was laid. She had been washed. The body had been washed and prepared for burial and whatnot. They were ready to bury her. But Peter sends them out, and he kneels down by the bedside and prays for her. Now, as before he throws them out with all the wailing and gnashing of teeth and all of that, they show him the handiwork that Dorcas had made. They possibly were even wearing some of the tunics and the dresses and the garb that Dorcas had made for them. These were the widows of the community, crying and wailing there at the deathbed of Dorcas. And they showed these things to Peter, which was interesting because have you ever been to a funeral and seen the casket laid out and the person laid out? And what do you usually see in the casket? Little mementos. There may be a picture of a grandchild or a cross or something. I've seen flower arrangements around the casket made to look like a John Deere tractor or a fire engine or something like that, something that connected the person with something. I actually saw at one funeral, which wasn't one of our church members, thank God, it was a can of beer. In the casket with it, which kind of said something that the person liked his Budweiser or whatever it was. But it was just one of those things that was kind of unique. We're also told that Dorcas was indeed a disciple of Jesus Christ. The only woman, by the way, who is designated as such in the entire New Testament. The only woman called a disciple of Jesus. I find that very, very interesting. In verse 36, we find these words: her life overflowed with good works and compassionate acts on behalf of those in need. This was probably why they sent for Peter, because the people knew that she was a follower of Jesus Christ and that she was a believer. And they were asking him to come and heal her and maybe even raise her from the dead. She was that important to this community. They just had to try something. But did they actually believe Peter could raise her from the dead? Well, we know that Peter had performed several acts of healing, was considered a miracle worker. In fact, just prior to this section, he had healed a man by the name of Aeneas who had been bedridden for 8 years. So maybe they thought he might be able to bring their beloved Dorcas back to life. They did believe in the power of prayer. And as it turns out, Peter does raise her by the power of God, of course, to return her to the community that loved her and that she loved so very, very much. So what does all this mean for us? What does this have to say to us today? Why do we need to hear this particular scripture today? Well, I think the important thing here really isn't necessarily the resurrection of Dorcas. That's not the real important issue here. Personally, I think it's the fact that she did good works and did acts of compassion using the skills and the talents that she had. We don't know at what point that Dorcas became a follower of Jesus. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know that she didn't have to wonder what God had called her to do as a disciple. For you see, she had a gift. Congressman Rubio trick here. Sorry. What she must have realized is that there was no shortage of mission work in her community. She had worked with the widows. She saw a need. She saw the poor widows who had no means of support. You have to understand that widows in that time had nothing if they did not have a kinsman redeemer. They had no means of support. There was no Social Security. There was no WIC program for women and children. There was no kind of pension or retirement plan for widows or anything like that. They were totally dependent upon people like Dorcas to help them out with their needs. No state assistance or anything. Dorcas saw a need in her community, and she decided to do something about it. And then I got thinking, well, what about Dorcas herself? Was she a widow? Doesn't say whether she was married. Doesn't say whether she had a family or children or anything like that at all. We're not told. But what we do know is that she had a skill. She had a gift. She had a talent that she used as a means of support. She was what you might call a Proverbs 31 woman. If you've ever read Proverbs 31, you'll know what I'm talking about. She apparently had the means to be able to support others, in this case, widows in need, who had no means of support. And if you think about it, it's quite possible that Dorcas not only helped them with clothing, I'd like to think that she probably was involved in their lives in other ways too. If she was about good works, if she was about acts of compassion, I personally think it went beyond making tunics, making dresses. She probably helped them with food. She probably helped them with health care, whatever that looked like in those days. She probably helped them with child care, maybe even just a listening ear, someone to talk to, something for these women, these widow women to talk to. This kind of kindness, this charity, this compassion for others, particularly for the poor and marginalized that community, had to be well known in that community. When she died, it must have affected the whole community. Here's how I think Dorcas' story connects with us today. Jesus may call some of us to a mission or to a ministry where we will need to learn some new skills. But more than likely, Jesus calls us to put the gifts and the skills and the talents that we already know about and already aware of to work so that we can be channels of God's grace, of God's love. God calls us, Jesus calls us to use what we've got. I'm reminded of the story, I'm deviating a little bit here, the story of the fishes and loaves. You know, remember that story where there's 5,000, you know, people that are hungry and Jesus says, feed them. And they say, well, we got our three fish and five loaves of bread, or five fish and three loaves, whatever it is. And he says, well, give them that. What is that among so many? Jesus said, use what you've got. And by the miracle of God's love, everybody had enough to eat with leftovers. God doesn't want to hear what we don't have. He wants us to use what we do have, what we do have. And you'd be amazed what God can do with it. I'm so happy that we have sewers, seamstresses, knitters, crocheters. I'm not sure of the terminology here at Bethel. And like a lot of churches, especially in the Methodist church, we have people who love to knit shawls, prayer shawls. And I've brought some of them here. Jenny was ready to call the police this morning. She thought somebody had stolen all of her prayer shawls. I had them. And I've got them on display here. If you don't know about our prayer shawl ministry, these are knit by certain women in our church. And these are available to anyone that you may know or for yourself that may be in the hospital or may need just something to remind them of God's warmth and love and loving arms to wrap around them. They're beautiful. They're all handmade. They're made right here at Bethel Church. And I'm so glad that we have a prayer shawl ministry. These have been blessed and consecrated and are ready to be used whenever needed. So please see Jenny Beal or call the church office, and we'll be glad to fix you up with a prayer shawl. So I'm so glad that we have people that do this. We also have ladies on the mission team. Where's our mission team members this morning? Anybody who's responsible for these? These are those pillowcase dresses that, was anybody here for the luncheon last week and saw the fashion show where the kids modeled these dresses? These are going to Nicaragua. Follow Dr. Forbes down to Nicaragua, and these little dresses, I never knew. It makes so much sense. She could make dresses out of pillowcases. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know if Joan Stevenson goes to the 11 o'clock service. A few years ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, they make the wool liners that go inside of the infantrymen's helmets for the wintertime. They make these woolies, I forget what, woolly caps or whatnot, and they knit those, and they send them over to Afghanistan and Iraq, have done in years past. I'm not sure if we're still doing that or not, but we've sent a bunch of those over. And then, of course, there's Quilts of Love. Anybody here involved with Quilts of Love? I thought you were going to raise your hand, Rich. I was going to say, boy, I'm impressed. Quilts of Love. They're going to be doing quilts here in a few weeks, I think, sometime in May. They're going to lay out the sewing machines and do all kinds of knitting and sewing and whatever they do. Jan Lobiondo is usually in charge of that. And then we do have an event coming up. I have to confess that I'm not much of a sewer. About the only thing I can do is sew a button on a shirt. Like one of these little lapel buttons come off. I can do that, or I can put a button on a shirt. That's about the size of it. But I did have a grandmother, Miss Daisy, long gone. Gone home to be with the Lord now, 94 years old. Made me an Afghan and made many Afghans, as I'm sure many of your mothers and grandmothers did, in 1976, in honor of the 76 Olympics. It was red, white, and blue. I still have it. It's just like new. We use it a lot in the wintertime, and I always think of her when I see that. It's in one of those zigzag patterns. You've probably seen those kind of Afghans. So it's really, really kind of neat, and I'll always remember her through that. Sewing is a craft that fastens and attaches material using stitches with a needle and thread. Dorcas attached fabric with stitching too, but in doing so and in using her special gift, she did more than stitch together pieces of fabric. Dorcas was the kind of woman that stitched together an entire community. And that's really what this message is about. Through acts of kindness and acts of compassion, we can knit each other together in a quilt of love, a tapestry, if you will. So the question becomes, what gift do you have? And are you using your gift or talent for the glory of God? How can we, like Dorcas, use our gift to help someone else? For example, we have people in the church that have a finance background. And thank God we have them, and they have said yes to serving on things like the finance committee or helping us with the money counting and things like that. We have people here who have engineering backgrounds or building backgrounds or were contractors before they retired or are still active who are serving on our trustees, which is so great when it comes to things like we're getting ready to do here with our capital improvement and modernization in a program. We have people, retired teachers, and we have active teachers, and those who have worked in the school system that are teaching Bible study and leading small groups. We have all kinds of folk doing all kinds of things, using their gifts, their talents, for the glory of God and help touch others. The question is, what is your gift? What do you know how to do? And like Dorcas, is there a way that you might be thinking about, how can I use this gift, this skill, this talent, be it sewing, be it carpentry, be it cooking, be it teaching, whatever. How can I use this gift to help others. And like I said, many of the things that I just mentioned are about inside the church and working to help serve us, which is good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm wondering how much more we need as a church to look at opportunities outside the church, in our community, in places like Westside New Beginnings, or in the school system, or in other areas, the senior centers and whatnot. How can we use our gifts to the betterment of our world? Where is your talent? What can you do to be in service to God? We might not be able to sow like me. That's not my gift. But we all have at least one gift. We all have a talent, or we're good at something. Regardless of that gift, we can bind ourselves, we can stitch ourselves to others and to us, and bringing us all closer together, we can draw closer to God. Paul wrote about this in the book of Ephesians when he talked about the body of Christ, the church, being knit together in love. Being knit together in love. But Dorcas teaches us that stitching itself may be a means of God's grace. And that's a challenge for all of us, I think, is to think about what we do and how that can be used to help someone else, whether it be widows or orphans or children or the poor or the elderly. We got to start thinking outside of ourselves and beyond the walls of our church and to seek those opportunities to be the hands and feet of Christ. I think that's what God's calling us to do. It's what he called Dorcas to do. And the bottom line is, as what happened in Dorcas' case, many people were witnesses to these things and came to believe. That's the whole point in all of this, is that others may see Christ living in us and will come to believe. That's my hope, and I hope that's the hope of you, that we'll see lives changed and people come to the Lord as a result of love. They shall know we are Christians by our love. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this message. We thank you for the opportunity to talk about Dorcas a little bit this morning. And hopefully, Lord, something has been said or done here this morning that will help us draw closer to you and closer to one another. Help us to search our hearts to find those gifts and talents, Lord, that we might be able to help someone in need. It may be something we haven't even thought of, but Lord, just help us to ponder these things today and send us forth with your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.